Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast. As we start out this new year, we are doing a series based on a few chapters from the book of 1 Corinthians. And that's a book in the New Testament, but it really wasn't intended to be a book. It was a letter. It was a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in the city of Corinth. And it's the first letter we have that he wrote to them. And there's a few sections in there that we're going to focus on. And what we want to try to pull out of those passages is figuring out, what does it mean to be part of a church? Now, typically on Sundays, we get together, we gather in this room, we spend some time singing and praising God and trying to focus in and hear Him speak and pour out our hearts, the good, the bad, and the ugly to Him. And quite often, you have to sit there and listen to me go on and on and on, right? And who said that? And quite often you'll hear me tell stories about my own life. And I'll share about some of the things that I've wrestled with or struggled with or questions I've kind of navigated. And I don't share those things as like some sort of cathartic therapy session with all of you watching. Like, that's not the point. Like, I share these things not as a way for me to process them and get them out and so that you guys can all, like, try to help me or feel bad for me or pay attention to me. That's not what it is. It's that I believe that we function better when we are honest and vulnerable with each other. There doesn't have to be necessarily any major solution, any major change, just because you hear my story. I'm not necessarily looking for you guys to change what you do around me, but I feel that I need to be open and honest and vulnerable with all of you to help you guys be open and vulnerable with each other and with God. And I think it also helps to understand that quite often the struggles that you face are struggles that other people face as well. One of the struggles that I have had to navigate, wrestle with, process, and to a certain extent still wrestle with is the comparison game. You guys are probably familiar with the comparison game, the process by which you look at other people and say, are they better than me? Are they worse than me? How do I measure up? Am I smarter? Am I dumber? Am I better looking? Am I uglier? What is it? And I have wrestled with that for a good portion of my life. Whether it was when I was a kid and I'm trying to compare myself to my brother and figure out, am I smarter than him? Is he smarter than me? And if he's bigger and stronger and funnier and better looking than I am, then I'm going to be smarter than he is, which I did. Don't ask him. Just take my word for it. And even in ministry, I'm here, I'm a pastor, and we look at, it's very easy to look like, okay, my church is this big, but how big is somebody else's church? And well, maybe they're not quite as cool as I am, or maybe they're not quite as intense or serious as I am, and so their work isn't quite as good. Or you look at other pastors and like, okay, well, how? And it's exhausting, isn't it? But it's something that I have wrestled with and struggled with. And even back When I was in Bible school, I had to do 4 years of school, and part of that 4 years was a six-month internship at another church. So I went off to this, I grew up in this small church in the backwoods of Yarmouth County, Nova Scotia, and I went to this great big church in St. John, and I was like, I want to go to a church that's totally different than what I grew up in, and I went there, and I went there for 6 months, and they stuck me in charge of first impressions. I was really hoping you weren't going to laugh at that. But okay, I guess I'm the same guy that I was back then. Well, they stuck me in charge of first impressions, and as the laughs tell me, that didn't go super well. And I looked at all the other pastors that were on staff, and I looked at all these other people, and I even listened to what these other staff people and the pastor were saying to me, and I ended up about halfway through feeling like, well, maybe I'm not cut out to be a pastor. Maybe I'm not supposed to be a pastor because I'm not like them. All of you, I think, in some way or another, understand this. And even if you are not struggling with the comparison game, you know people who are. People that are very close to you are struggling with this. And it can be with your job, it can be at home, it can be at church, it can be in your family structure, it can be socially, just in society and trying to figure out where you fit, it can be in your neighborhood and looking at your house compared to their house or whatever. And you play this comparison game, even though nobody knows that you're playing it. Isn't that the fun part of it? That you play it and nobody else is aware that you're playing it and you don't actually keep score? You may be somebody who looks at those around them, and again, this might be inside the church, it might be at home, it could be in your community, and you just feel useless. You just feel useless. Feel like you don't measure up, you're not good enough, you can't really do anything that makes a difference. Others of you, you work and work and work and you're not appreciated. Maybe you feel like you're not as talented as somebody else. Maybe you're not as smart as everybody else. Maybe you're not able to get up and speak in front of everybody like your great, incredible, handsome pastor, Brad. Right, Pat? Are you clapping? I'm supposed to be the handsome one. And so you try to compensate some way. You try to be smarter than everybody else. You try to work harder and get more done than everybody else. You work more than what you really should be working. Or you pull this, and this is, and I get this, because I have wrestled with this so much, is that you get very good at picking everybody else apart, pulling them apart, and figuring out how you're better than they are. And then it becomes not just about how you're performing, it becomes about how you can nitpick everybody else to figure out how they're not quite as good as everyone thinks and everyone seems. And then you start to actually verbalize those perspectives and those thoughts, and you get to look at others and you say, well, they're not doing this right and they're not doing this right, and you start actually audibly putting them down in front of other people, or you talk to them, and when they say something foolish or they say something weird, you end up making fun of them and trying to take them down a peg so that you can somehow feel a little bit better about yourself. You guys know what I'm talking about. Some of you have spent your lives doing that to other people, and some of you have spent your lives feeling like other people are just constantly doing that to you. And it's all this comparison game. It's all this looking at other people and trying to figure out who's better, who's more valuable, who's less valuable, where do you stand, and you're trying to figure out whether or not you matter. The interesting thing about that is that it doesn't make any sense at all. It is completely the wrong question that you should be asking. It is completely the wrong way of thinking. Because how many of you sit down at any point during the day, during the week, or even during the year, and look at your hand and go, hands, you're just not as good as my foot. Have any of you done that? How many of you look in the mirror and you look at your nose and go, man, nose, I wish you could just be a knee for once. I wish I had three noses instead of two ears. Anybody do that? Does that sound completely foolish? They're different parts. Why, like, they're different parts, they do different things, so we just naturally look at them and we know they're different and they're built for different things, and we don't look at them and go, well, I wish that was some other part, and I wish I could get rid of that so I could get another earlobe. Like, I wish I had an ear right here so that I could hear everybody yelling at me better. Or like nobody does that, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks exactly about that dynamic. And I'm actually going to end up reading this entire chapter because it lays it out so well, it makes it so clear, and there's so much rich content that I think we need to hear. So if you've got your Bibles or you've got your phones with the Bible app on it, the YouVersion Bible app or whatever Bible app you're using, pull that out and follow along. I'm going to be reading from the New International Version, the NIV. You can read it in whatever version you want, but we are going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm actually going to read through the entire thing, and I want you to really pay attention to these words, because these words nail this issue that we face constantly in our lives. This is what the Apostle Paul, the church leader Paul, says to the church in Corinth. He says, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues or languages. And to still another, the interpretation of those tongues and languages. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by the one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers. Every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Pay attention, folks. Now you are the body of Christ. And each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healing? No. Do all speak in tongues? No. Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Go back to verse 27. I want you to get this. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Following Jesus doesn't make you part of a church. It makes you part of his body. Following Jesus doesn't make you part of the church, of an organization, of a group, of some kind of social club. It doesn't get you into some kind of societal realm. It doesn't just give you a membership card. It doesn't just change your title or whatever. Following Jesus makes you part of his body, because the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit that empowers the church, is his Spirit. And if his Spirit is in you, then you are part of his body, and you are the physical expression of Christ on earth right now. You are his hands and his feet and his nose and his ears and his eyebrows. You're not just part of a church. You are part of his body. And he has gifted each one of you uniquely, differently, not to be the same, not to do the same things, not to look the same, but to have the same spirit doing different things. Just like you have different parts of your body, your body has different parts, and you look at them and you're not comparing them to one another and saying, well, that's dumb compared to this thing. You're not looking at them and saying, this is a better part, or this is more valuable, or this is more valuable, or because my eye can see, it's better than a hand that can touch things. You don't bother processing information like that. That's foolish to bother doing that. And in the same way, we have the same spirit. We are part of the one body, and we shouldn't be comparing ourselves to each other. We should be finding out what we are created to do, what gifts God has given us, what part of the body we are, and embrace that, and then look at each other and not compare ourselves to them, but to appreciate them as they are part of the body. And they were gifted by the same Spirit to do unique things. And that when we come together and we work together in our different ways, the body works. The body functions. It takes care of itself. And it makes a difference and changes the world. Following Jesus doesn't make you part of a church. It makes you part of his body. You might be the part that preaches. You might be the part that teaches. You might be the part that sweeps the floor, that greets somebody in the lobby, that is a prayer warrior. You may be the person that is playing music on stage, or you may be the person that's playing music in the bar and sharing his story about how Christ has changed him with lost people. You may be cleaning up puke from the kids. You may be teaching the kids. You may be singing a song. You may be earning money that then supports the organization that allows us to do ministry. You may be a person that's running a business and building connections in the community that's showing the world how businesses are supposed to be run, and that you live with generosity and honor and respect and trust and honesty. You may be a healer, you may be a leader, you may be an evangelist, you may be a discipler, you may be a counselor, you may be a friend, you may be holding someone's hand as they die. You have all been given gifts and abilities and connections and placed where you need to be as different parts of one body. We are not a bunch of different bodies in this room. We are parts of the body of Christ. And we should be living as if us as a whole are the expression of Jesus on earth right now. None of us do all of those things I listed. None of us are able to do everything that Christ did. None of us are able to do everything that God wants to do on this earth. But together we can. Because we're not just part of a church, we're part of his body. So what do you do with that? What difference does that make? Well, number one, you do not need to compare yourself to anyone else to feel valuable, useful, like you have a purpose, that you have meaning. It is not dependent on anybody else. It is God saying to you, I have given you my spirit, you are part of my body, and I have made you useful. and that the gift of the Holy Spirit to you should fill you with confidence, because the same Spirit that was in Christ is in you. And if He had incredible power to make incredible differences, then that power is in you, and you should be filled with that confidence and that strength. Not because you're great and incredible, but because Christ is in you. And whether you succeed or fail, He is in you. And that should fill you with incredible strength and confidence, knowing that it is Christ in you that makes you incredible. And nobody can take that from you. And at the same time, you don't need to put other people down or compare yourself that way, because the reality is you can look at yourself with humility, understanding that you are weak, that you are broken, and that you are insufficient on your own, because without Christ, you are nothing. Without Him, I am nothing. With Him, I have everything I need, and I can do incredible things, whatever it is He calls me to do. But without Him, I'm nothing. And that makes me understand that we are all on the same playing field, and I don't need to put people down. I don't need to compare myself, because I don't think that I'm better than anybody else here. Actually, I understand that without Christ, I may be the lowest one here, and it doesn't matter. Because it's Christ in me. And when you realize that you are part of the body, you not only get incredible confidence, but you get incredible humility as well. Understanding that you are full because of Him and only because of Him. It means that we need to honor the body, those around you. We cannot fall for this comparison game. We need to honor each other. Honor the other parts of the body. And finally, you need to figure out what gift God has given you, what part of the body you are, what your role is, and get to work. You don't need to be like every other part of the body. You need to be the body, the part of the body that Christ wants you to be. The worship team is going to come back up here. They're going to lead us in a few more songs. And whatever you are in this journey of processing this information, this is an excellent time to kind of lean into that. Whether it's this, you need to grab hold of the confidence that the one Spirit is in you and filling you, then grab hold of that confidence. If you need to embrace the humility of Christ and understand, you know what, this is not about me being good or better than other people. I am nothing without Christ, and you just need to embrace that humility. Or you feel like you have been dishonoring those around you, and you need to apologize, or you need to surrender that, or you just need clarity on what God is calling you to be. You let your heart cry out to God in these next moments. You surrender those pieces. And you embrace the reality that following Jesus doesn't make you part of a church. It makes you part of His body.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.